Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
You know, all throughout the pages of the Bible, we see how God, time after time after time, chooses kids to really do some incredible, incredible things throughout the story that God's been writing. That little video that we just watched just referenced kid after kid after kid that God used in some really, really powerful ways to accomplish His will and His dreams, and saw His dreams come true. God really does have a special place in His heart for kids. Thank God for kids. One story of a little kid that's in the Bible that wasn't on that video. It shows up in John chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. Maybe you've heard it before. It's Jesus getting ready to feed over 5,000 people. And Jesus asked the disciples who were with Him on that particular day what they had on hand to help feed these masses. And this little kid steps up, and he basically, his mom must have fixed him a fish sandwich that day. And he had a couple of fish and some bread, and he said, "Well, I've got this." And he gave them to Jesus. And man, together, that little kid, through the power of Jesus, just fed everybody that was there that day. And they had tons left over. I mean, think about that little kid. Don't you know that little kid felt so big that day? Man, I can just imagine how important he must have felt by seeing his gift being used to feed everybody on the hillside that day in a miraculous way. God loves to do big things through little kids. He really does. I mean, that's tweetable right there. God loves to do big things through little kids. I remember one time when I was a little kid and I felt big. I was at my granddaddy Ford's farm. I used to love to go out to the farm. They lived out in West Texas in Hamlin, outside of Abilene. He had a big farm out there, and I loved when I was a little kid to go help him work on the farm. I probably created more work for my granddaddy on the farm. But man, he let me come work on the farm. This one day, we were going to fill his trailer up, his cattle trailer up, with cows and calves, and we were going to take them to the sale at the auction barn. And he had needed to replace some of the flooring in it so that when they were en route, the cows would have some footing. And so they had this metal grid that you would put in the bottom of it, and had little metal squares like that, so that when they're standing there, their hooves would have a place to get some traction. Well, he put it in there, and it extended past the end of the trailer by about 2 feet. And he was like, "Oh man, I thought I measured that right, and dead gum, and oh shoot." And he was like, "Man, now I'm going to have to go over to my brother's farm," which was about 30 minutes away, because he's got this cutting tool that we needed. And he's kind of grousing around, like, "Oh man, that's no good. That's going to add an extra hour and plus 30 minutes. When I go over there, he always wants to have a cup of coffee, so that's going to be another hour." And so I'm just kind of sitting here looking around, and he's kind of grousing around, and we're by the barn. I see this hacksaw on the side over there. It's got one of those real thin blades with a bunch of real close little serrades together, and I just take it right off, this little kid, and I just kind of go over there to the back, and I'm like, "Maybe I can fix this." And the first one popped off, and I was like, "Granddaddy, look at this." And the look on his face, because he just got all that time back, he put his hand on my back and said, "I knew you'd make a hand. You have done a great thing here today. Look at this. We're not going to have to go over to my brother's house. I'm not going to have to drink coffee over there for an hour. We can lop this thing off in nothing flat. Get those cows and cattle in there. We're off to the auction board." Everything he said, I just felt bigger and bigger and more important, because I brought a solution to his problem. Man, I felt huge on the inside.
That's what I think that little kid on the side of the hill must have felt like on that day when he gave his fish sandwich to Jesus and said, here we go. Let's feed everybody. Let's feed all the kids. Man, there's nothing like feeling big in the eyes of an adult when you're a little kid. And I'm telling you, Jesus loves to make little kids feel big and feel important and feel loved and feel valued and feel appreciated. That song many of us sang growing up, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Man, he really, really does. And if you want to see Jesus get upset really, really fast, I mean muy pronto, you try to keep a little kid away from Jesus when that little kid's trying to get up close. You don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen. But in Mark chapter 10, it says this. Mark 10 verses 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him, to Jesus, that he might touch them, lay his hand on them, bless them. And the disciples rebuked those little kids. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, you let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs what? The kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Men and women, what that verse is describing is an indestructible kingdom. The kingdom of God is so indestructible that he gives it to little kids to play with. You don't have to shine it up. It's just brilliant and indestructible as is. The kingdom belongs to little kids is what Jesus said. Jesus loves little kids and Jesus values little kids. I knew I was going to be preaching this. This one's been just sitting there marinating for several weeks. And on Friday night, man, I just had a great vision of the kingdom, reminder of the kingdom, because about a year ago today, two of my friends that are sitting right over here, Liam and Hank Brewer, were in an orphanage in the Congo, and now they live here with their new family, the Brewers. They've got new little sisters and Tatum and Blakely, and we had a birthday party for Liam on Friday night at Amazing Jake's, and I'm telling you, we had a blast. We had more pizza than you can possibly eat. We had enough to feed 20,000 people that day. They had a potato bar. I've never seen a kid eat more baked potatoes than Hank Brewer. He and I had more baked potatoes, and I mean they have ice cream and all this games and all this stuff, and there was a bunch of friends from church who were there and others who were there. I mean, my kids were there, Jack and Lucy, and of course Tatum and Blakely and Carter and Chloe and Caleb and Calvin and Nathan and Natalie, and we just had so much fun that night, and their parents were there, and we were riding these go-karts, and I mean, I had the opportunity to ride with Lucy. And you see, the thing about the kingdom is, if you're going to enter it like a little kids always are inviting somebody along. Oh, come on, let's go. Everybody, it's time to go. And Lucy was like, hey, Dad, before we go, can we go ride those go-karts? I haven't been able to ride it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Sure, let's go. We went and stood in line, we rode, we had a great time. Man, Lucy, I'm so grateful that you invited me to go do that, because that's what kids are supposed to do, and that's what followers of Jesus are supposed to do. They're supposed to invite people to experience all the goodness that you know is just waiting right there, and you invited me to go. I'm so glad I did. And when we finished, I saw who was next in line, and it was Nathan and Natalie, and their mom were there, and I'm like, hey, there's like three of them, and you can only ride two. And I looked over and I said, hey, Nathan can ride with me. Hey, there they are right back there. Hey, Natalie. Hey, Nathan. Yeah. And I was like, can he ride with me? And she's like, yeah. And he went and sat here, and Craig and Caleb Chappell were in the car right in front of us. And we went, and every time we went around the turn, I just loved Nathan going, yee-hoo! 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 and we finished, and we got off, and we pulled right in behind the chapels. And I will never forget, I told Allison this, we got out. Caleb was the first one out. Caleb, you in here? Were you around here? Yeah, you're right there. You know what you did when you got out of there? You went, yeah! That was awesome! And I just thought to myself, the kingdom. The kingdom. Because when you step into the kingdom on earth, don't forget that part, as it is in heaven, you know what you'll begin to do if you're a true follower of Jesus? God, yes! Look at this partnership. Look at all these kids we get to bless with these shoes. Come on! Come on. Kids, draw me a picture of what you think it looks like for a kingdom party to happen. Who all would be there? What do you think Jesus' face would look like? What would your face look like? What would you be doing at a kingdom party? Draw me a picture of it this morning and put it on my artboard out here in the Home Life Center. I want to see what you think the kingdom parties look like. Thank God for kids. This morning in our text, I want to show you how God used a little kid to do something big and brave in the life of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, or turn your Bible on and flip over to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, if you didn't bring a Bible or you don't have it on your phone, there should be a Bible right in the row in front of you. Acts 23 is going to be on page 932. Page 932. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're done. I've got a bunch of them out there, and I'll give you one. Acts 23, while you're turning to Acts 23, let me just tell you that we've been walking through the book of Acts for the last few years, just real slowly and kind of looping in and out, and we've been in Acts 23 the last couple of weeks, and in this story, let me kind of reframe it for you. The Apostle Paul is in the city of Jerusalem, and when he was at the temple, he was trying to clear his name. A bunch of rumors had been spread that were not true about him, and so he's trying to make everything right. And while he's there, there's a group of angry people who jump him and start beating him up. I mean, when you have unhealthy anger in your life, it'll cause you to do some things that you shouldn't do. And that's what happened this day in the temple. This group of angry Jewish people see Paul. They jump him. A massive fight breaks out. There's this Roman guard that is there to try to keep the peace in the temple and around Jerusalem. And the Roman guard, all these Roman guards had to come down and save Paul from this angry mob before they killed him. And there was this one Roman there who was in charge of everything. His name, he was the tribune. That was his position, kind of like Dr. Johnson is the principal. This guy named Claudius Lysias, we'll call him Claude, okay, because that's just easier to say than Claudius Lysias. But Claude was the guy in charge over all these Roman soldiers who were there, and Claude's trying to figure out, why are all these people so angry at this one guy? Why are they trying to tear him bit by bit? And so last week, Claude said, I know what I'll do. I'll call the Jewish Supreme Court together. They're known as the Sanhedrin. They're made up of two groups, a group called the Pharisees and the group called the Sadducees. And they have some different beliefs. They have some different ways of doing things. It's kind of like the election right now. There's one group that thinks this, and there's a whole other group that thinks this. And Paul's sitting there going, I've got to tell my story here. If I can get these two groups fighting with each other, maybe I can kind of slip out the back door. Well, he got them fighting, but then he couldn't get out of the middle, and they almost tore him to pieces. And so the Roman tribune, his name is Claude had to take him out of that scary situation. They took him back to the barracks and said, man, we got to cool off a little bit here and figure out what in the world is going on. And so we'll pick back up just before where we left off last week to kind of reset the story a little bit. Look at verse 10. And it says this in Acts 23, verse 10. It says, and when the dissension became violent, the tribune, Claude, Afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, he commanded the soldiers to go down, take him away from among them by force, and bring him into the barracks. Now check out what happened when he's in the barracks, feeling down, feeling beaten up, feeling like Sonny Liston that we talked about last week when Muhammad Ali knocked him out. And he's standing over him with this warrior pose. Says this, the following night, the Lord stood by him. Like a warrior, the Lord Jesus stood by Paul and said, take courage, for as you've testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. He's got a hope and a future for him. Now watch what happens next. Now when it was day, the Jews, are they happy or mad? They're mad. Mad people do bad things. When it was day, the Jews made a plot and they bound themselves by an oath neither to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Kind of going to extremes. That doesn't happen today in our world, does it? Verse 13. There were more than how many? 40 angry Jewish men who made this conspiracy. And then they went to the chief priests and the elders and they said, we have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. Now therefore, you, along with the council, give notice to the tribune. The tribune's name is? So go tell Claude to bring Paul back down to you as though you were going to determine the case more exactly. Bring him back before the Sanhedrin. And we're ready to kill him when he comes near. Okay, everybody got the scene? What's going on here? This group of over 40 Jewish men that hated Paul so much made a pact with each other, made a vow, they're not going to eat anything or drink anything until they've killed Paul. And so they devised this plan in conjunction with the Jewish leaders and with the Supreme Court of the Jewish people and the elders and everybody that are in charge of the religious system there. And they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ask Claude to bring Paul back before us so we can continue this and see if we can't do it a little more civilly tomorrow. And they all agreed. Now, think about it with me. That's a really crazy plan because that meant that if they're going to do that, who's going to escort Paul down there? It's going to be a bunch of big Roman soldiers. And they're going to have big sharp knives and spears. And what they're saying is, some of us are willing to give our lives if we can get that guy out of here. Because that's what it was going to take. They were going to have to jump him, try to slit his throat, and run. And some of us are probably going to die in that coup. They came up with that plan. They were going to try to pull it off, his assassination the next day. But you know as well as I do, if you've got 40 plus people in on a plot like that, it's going to be hard to keep that quiet. That's a hard secret to keep kept, right? Yeah, somebody's going to find out. And somebody did find out. And one of those somebodies was a little kid, and he happened to be Paul's nephew. Coincidence or providence? Providence. Look what happens next in verse 16. Check this out. Acts 23. We'll pick it back up in verse 16. Now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush. And so he went and he entered the barracks and he told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions and said, take this young man to the tribune. Take him to Claude right now. He's got something to tell him. And so he took him and he brought him to the tribune, to Claude, and he said, Paul, the prisoner, called me and asked me to bring this young man to you as he has something to say to you. Verse 19. The tribune, what did he do here? Took him by the hand. That's why scholars think that Paul's nephew wasn't a teenager, but probably a little kid. Because he took him by the hand. If he was an older kid, that's probably not how that would have been described. But he took him by the hand. Look what he does here. He took him by the hand and going aside, asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" Verse 20. And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they're going to inquire somewhat more closely about him. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, who've bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they've killed him. And now they're just waiting, ready for your consent." And so the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, "Tell no one that you've informed me of these things." And that's the word of the Lord. Yeah. So think about it. God decided to use a little kid, Paul's nephew, to save the life of the great apostle Paul. Biblical scholar John MacArthur says this about that little scene that we just saw. He said, "This narrative passage contains no doctrinal truths or practical exhortations. It merely recounts an event in Paul's life. Yet, no passage of Scripture could more clearly illustrate what? The providence of God." The providence of God. You're going, what exactly is the providence of God? Well, the providence of God is His sovereign control over and ordering of natural circumstances to accomplish His will. Let me say that again. The providence of God is His sovereign control over and the ordering of natural circumstances to accomplish His will. Exhibit A, Garland Can Academy. The providence of God. And it will be the providence of God that they are up and running and ready for class, not on August the 22nd. They're actually starting on August the 15th. So move them up on your prayer list. Providence of God. N.T. Wright, my favorite biblical New Testament scholar, writes this about the providence of God, how God is in control of the circumstances in a very unique way to accomplish His will, and in this story, sparing the Apostle Paul's life. He writes about how interesting it is that on an occasion when a plot was formed, just was dissipated because of a little kid. 40 angry men gone because of the providence of God and allowing a little boy to hear about it. I mean, just the right around the time when Paul received that visit and that vision from the Lord Jesus in verse 11, telling him that he's going to make it safely to Rome and testify there, a little boy happened to be in the right place at the right time. He perked up his ears and he knew what to do. And so you're thinking, how did this little boy find out about that? I mean, surely he wasn't in the meeting when those 40 angry men were talking about this and working this up. Well, use your imagination again. Look back at verse 13. Verse 13 tells us there were more than 40 men who were in on this conspiracy and plot to end Paul's life. With so many people having the knowledge of this plot that's been formed, man, it was just impossible to keep that in absolute secrecy. Somebody was bound to find out. And so I love what N.T. Wright does. He just kind of dreams a little bit. He just says, what if it happened like this? I mean, it's extremely easy to suppose that with all those seriously religious, angry men, excuse me, making a solemn oath, "We're not eating." What does that mean? They didn't turn up for what? Dinner at their home. Imagine this conversation. "Mom, where's Dad?" "Hush, dear. He's doing God's work." "Oh, That's exciting. What does God want him to do? Hush, dear. Your dad won't be eating until they've gotten rid of that troublemaker that they caught in the temple yesterday. And a little boy after dinner went out to play with his friends and told another little boy down the street. And they said, my dad didn't show up for dinner either. And a little boy tells another little boy, and soon everybody realizes amongst all the little boys that something's going on, and one of them just happened to be the nephew, and they didn't realize it, of the man who was on, the name was on everyone's lips, and soon they hoped would be at the end of all their daddy's knives. But that little boy was Paul's nephew, and he did something big. Kids, don't miss this. That little boy did something big, and that little boy did something brave. He knew something was wrong, and he went and he told the truth. And he went in to his uncle Paul. They were able to go and have visitors. And so he went and he visited his uncle Paul, and he told him what was going on that he heard about that was bad. Imagine how scared he must have been with all these Roman soldiers around. And yet he knew, I heard something that was bad that's going to happen to my uncle. I need to go tell him. And that scared little boy told the truth. Everything he knew, he told the truth. Kids, listen to me. Always be brave and always tell the whole truth, even when you may be scared to do so, if you know something's wrong. If you know something's bad or something's about to happen and you know it, you be brave and you tell them the truth. You tell an adult that you trust the truth. And if you're sitting there going, I don't know who to tell, you come tell me. And we'll make sure that we tell the right adults to help whatever situation is at hand. Kids, just remember this. It's never wrong to do what's right. Say that with me. It's never wrong to do what's right. Won't you just repeat that after me? It's never wrong to do what's right. It's never wrong to do what's right. Kids, let me just hear you say that with me. It's never wrong to do what's right. To do what's right. That's right. That's right. Mom and Dad, you may just want to put that on the refrigerator. It's never, ever wrong to do what's right. And if you don't know if this part or that part is wrong or right, you just tell the truth. Because you never go wrong when you're telling the truth. And that's what that little boy did. He told the truth that day. Don't you think he was probably scared? I do. Don't you think he was probably nervous to share it with Claude? I do. But he was a brave little boy who did a really big thing. And he told the truth, and it ended up saving his uncle's life. And we're going to read more about what happened next week, about how the Apostle Paul's life was spared because of his nephew's bravery. Biblical scholar Richard Longenecker notes that we don't have any knowledge from Scripture, from Paul's writings, about any of his relatives. And it was Luke who actually wrote Acts. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And beyond this one point right here that we just read, that's the only definitive description we have of the Apostle Paul's family. And yet it's really interesting. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, of having, quote, lost all things. Lost all things for the sake of Christ. And many scholars believe that when Paul put his faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and began following him and telling everybody else about him, that his family disowned him and disinherited him. Following Jesus costs you sometimes, men and women. in ways that are really, really painful. And yet family ties are not easily broken. And when his nephew realized that his uncle was in mortal danger, his nephew couldn't just stand by without saying something. After all, in Judaism, the saving and the preservation of life takes precedence over everything else, even angry family relationships. And as Paul, as a Roman citizen, under protective custody, Paul could receive visitors and his nephew could go visit him and thank God for kids. Paul's nephew, this little kid, played a big role in saving his life from being ambushed by all those angry religious men. Think about it. That's the providence of God at work. God used a little boy to defeat the plans of over 40 angry men, and God can and God does do big things through little kids. I want to just share a couple of stories with you before we leave. And she had known I was going to do this, but Jeronisha, right back here, give me a high five up top. Boom. Jeronisha is one of our teenagers who this summer, when we were serving lunches every single day throughout the month of June in our partnership with the city of Garland through the summer nutrition program, we had families that came every single day and would get a nutritious lunch. And the reason that program exists is because when school is out and when school begins again, there's a gap there. And many of those kids, that's the only nutritious meal they have is on the free and reduced lunch. And so we hosted nutritious lunches every day this month of June, and then we'd develop relationships and play with the kids, and man, we just began to see we had more and more kids. We served over 500 meals, and I think there were 19 different families that were able to be blessed in that way. And we asked Jeronisha, I think Nelva, who was our coordinator, asked Jeronisha and Dan, who was in there each day, hey, can you come up and help us? You're great with the kids. You're one of the kids. You're having a great impact on the kids. Can you come up, get you some lunch, and then play? And you and I had a conversation, and I said, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if God's put something in you throughout the rest of your life to impact kids because you're so natural in building them up. And do you know that some of those kids came to Vacation Bible School, and some of those kids actually put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus? And I think you're a part of that story. Great job, Jeronisha. I love a story. I get all kinds of stories in the Home Life Center. People come out and they say, man, you got to hear this. There's this great story about this little one right over here, little Miss Ellie right over here. And I'm talking about you, Miss Ellie. Yeah, I talked to your mama this week. Lynn, would you mind coming up just for a second? Because you told me a story a few months ago about something that Ellie decided that she wanted to do. And I just think it's a big thing that a little kid has done that's making a big impact in some other people's lives. Would you help me to welcome Lynn and Ellie? Hey, Ellie. Let's let your mom tell a little bit of this story about what she did.
Ellie was turning 4 at the end of April, and we decided instead of presents, people could give food to the pantry here in Cubby's Awana Pantry.
The Awana Pantry, food
and
pantry.
Ellie was very excited to do that and very excited to help if there were kids in her Cubby's class, particularly were her thoughts that might need food.
Ellie, I am so proud of you. God loves it when your heart is excited to help other people. And you did a big thing. And God smiles when he thinks about you. High five up top. Help me to thank Ellie and Lynn. Thanks so much. me share one more story with you. John Perry. John, come talk with me for a second. And yeah, John Michael, come up too. John was sharing with me. You remember we had our Serve Together Sunday with the Children's Hunger Fund, and we took the whole Sunday and just packed 48,000 meals for hungry people all over our community, and we partner with Children's Hunger Fund. It's a great opportunity. You never know what kind of impact that's going to have on somebody else. And John, you were telling me about a school assignment with John Michael. Tell us what happened as a result of that.
All right. So twice a year, the Richardson ISD students have what they call enrichment clusters. And this little guy chose one called Think Kind.
Okay.
To be a part of. So 10 to 12 of third, fourth graders got together, and it's about nonprofit organizations.
Okay.
So they decided to do a lemonade, selling it 50 cents a cup, and they had to figure out what nonprofit to give the proceeds to.
Uh-huh.
So he came home, and he asked his mom, Michelle,
yep,
to print out some information on Children's Hunger Fund, our own.
Yeah.
Yep. And took that information back. They voted, didn't they?
Always got to have a vote.
And his idea won. They did, was it 2 days? 2 days worth of sales, and they raised $50.
Wow.
And then they told them that $50 was going to get 48 meals.
Wow. That is so awesome. Up top right here, John Michael. Everybody help me thank John Michael and John Perry. Guys, that is a great, great story. I am so proud of you, and God did big things through you, and He wants to continue doing big things through you all throughout your life, and especially this school year. I'm proud of you, and I'll be praying for you. Help me thank Him one more time. I know those are just 2-3 stories in a room full of stories of how God is doing some great things, some big things through little kids. And moms and dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, that's why we continue to say, faith doesn't start at church. Faith starts where? At? Faith starts at home. You're the primary disciple maker in your kid's life. And God wants to do great things through your kids and through your leadership and through your parenting. The church is meant to come alongside and resource you and help you and put some great tools in front of you. But you have way more impact and way more time to invest in them. He's going to do great things. He puts kids in our lives to help us become more like Him. And Jesus said, if you want to come into the kingdom, don't do it like an angry religious adult. Be like a little kid. Why don't you stand with me? Let me pray for you. Let me give you a blessing. As you're standing, if there's anything I can do to help you in your faith journey, take a next step. Before you leave today, fill out that little connect card. I'll be standing right out here with a cup of coffee in hand. I'd love the opportunity to help you. If you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, just put your name and contact information there and just tick that little box. I'd like more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're ready to take a next step and be baptized. Let me just give you a little hint. Labor Day weekend, first weekend in September, I'm going to baptize people. Anybody that wants to be baptized during that service, come on. We're going to have a great time. And if you're thinking about that, I'd love to help you with that. Just tick that little box. You'd like more information about what it means to be baptized. Maybe you've been kicking the tires here and you're ready to take a next step and understand what it means to be a member. Fill out this little connect card. I know some of you have been coming here for a long, long time. Looking at my friends right over here from Chicago. Been coming here a long, long time. You need to take that next step and make it official. No pressure, seriously. But whenever you're ready to take that next step, I'd love to help you. I'd love to help you. I'd love to hear your story and see how God wants to interweave ours. It's a privilege to be your pastor. I love you. I'm proud of you. Let's walk into a new year and be who God wants us to be. We'll worship next week in this hour. We'll do a little bit of our church business on the back end of it. and then we'll head right over and not have life groups in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll all go over and have lunch. It's going to be a great time. We're going to play games together. Greg Hansen is the 9 square in the air champion. I've never seen a grown man run faster than when he got out and ran to the back of the line to get back in. It's a sight to behold. We'll have a great time. Our deacons are going to provide ice cream. It's just going to be a great punctuation on the end of what's been a really, really great summer. And then we're just going to eat and enjoy ourselves together and get ready for a new school year. Let me give you a blessing. Why don't you hold your hands out like this, like you're going to receive something. Then Scott Partridge is going to come and lead us in our benediction and dismiss us. You're the people of God. You're the one God loves. He's got you in this place, not just to suck air, but to use your hands and to use your feet and to use your words and to use your resources, to use your jobs, to use your homes, to use your schools and your friendships to point people to Jesus. God wants to do big things through you. Just open up your eyes. The fields are wide unto harvest. Join him in what he's doing all around us. He wants to do great things as we follow him into the future. Let's start by just being who he's called us to be in our families. I love you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.